Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in My Lowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's trending.
God dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Of course, number one on what's trending, Chiefs have won 5 of their last 6 games. They sit at 5-3 on the year after a 28-7 win against the Commanders last night. Mike Dana had his best game of the season by far, a sack, an interception. Kareem Hunt found the end zone twice. We're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes individually after what's trending because he is doing something he hasn't done since 2021.
Yeah, I mean, it's been impressive, obviously, and there's no doubt about it. The Chiefs are playing like one of the best teams in football again, even though they're just 5-3 at Buffalo. Massive game this Sunday for the Chiefs. We'll see exactly where that heads next. Next up on what's trending, the World Series. Dodgers win game 3 in the 18th inning of a walk-off home run from Freddie Freeman. Shohei Ohtani reached base 9 times in the game. He had hit 2 doubles, 2 home runs, and then they intentionally walked him for the final 5 at-bats. Certainly suggested the idea that they may never pitch to him again for the rest of the series. Dodgers currently hold the 2-1 advantage in the game. Shohei will actually pitch for the Dodgers tonight in Game 4 of the World Series in Los Angeles. That game starting at 7 o'clock.
College
hopefully ending before 2 a.m.
Yeah, college football, we discussed yesterday this crazy carousel we're probably going to see with all these openings. Offshore odds, these always are, you know, sometimes can be fun to look at. Offshore has Eli Drinkwitz as the favorite to be the next head coach of the Florida Gators.
The offshore has him as a stronger favorite to be the coach of the Gators than Patrick Mahomes is to win the MVP.
Yeah.
If you're looking at any kind of example of exactly what that's looking like, they think he's going to Florida. Look, I think if he gets offered Florida or LSU or one of these other jobs, he'd probably take it. And in college, this is pretty common. You have not peaked out, but you have not soured on Missouri fans yet. So if you leave here, you essentially reset your coaching clock before you have to look for new work or can get things going, which means, you know, 2 bad years at Missouri, 3 bad years in Missouri, maybe they do that. You can buy yourself more time, hypothetically, at Florida, so we'll see. Lastly, on what's trending, the Saints officially bench Spencer Rattler in favor of rookie Tyler Shuck. He will go against the Rams this weekend. I honestly do not get this. They benched him what I thought was too early in the game. I understand the turnovers have been a problem for Spencer Rattler. I think there are 5-9 teams in the NFL getting worse quarterback play than the Saints were getting than Spencer Rattler, and giving him a little time to grow would have been somewhere. I guess we'll see what Tyler Shuck has to offer. The surprising, was he a 3rd-round pick? Where was he in the draft? Somewhere in there?
I do not remember the exact
second
round.
Oh, man.
He might as well have been a first, I think, because he was picked high enough in the 2nd round.
Was he really picked that high?
In the 30s.
I think the Saints deep down were hoping to be able to go to him much earlier, but Spencer Rattler was playing at a decent level. I think they wanted to, because Spencer Rattler was with this team a year ago. They already kind of knew what they had in Spencer Rattler, and I don't think he's been bad. I think he earned himself a long career as a backup in this league and a spot starter based on how he performed this year. But I think the Saints, who have a first-year head coach in Kellen Moore, who are going to have one of the top picks, most likely, yes, are going to draft a quarterback anyway. But I think they do want to see what this kid has. And so find out, let him start the rest of the year. And then you can just be wipe your hands clean of both Rattler and him and draft the quarterback, which is the path that they're likely headed down anyway. So I'm with you. I don't think Rattler was a disaster. But you also eventually, if you are in his spot, I think Rattler's only won one game in his like 15 starts or whatever it is now in his NFL career. At some point, when you're not winning and you're not a top draft pick, they're not going to continue to give you opportunity after opportunity. But I don't think he's been bad.
I think it's fairly obvious that they, you know, I'd say it's fairly obvious that they told him, hey, stop turning the ball over. Like, that's more than anything. Don't turn the ball over. And then he had a couple of bad turnovers early, and then they benched him.
Eight touchdowns, five picks, 1,500 yards on the year. 1-7 record.
But there are
career record, 1-13.
I get it. There are times when I watch Spencer Rattler where I at least see some juice there. I'm not claiming he's going to be the world's best quarterback. And you guys remember I had said that I liked him coming out of the draft. So, like, certainly I'm a little bit biased in that regard. I just didn't think he was playing bad enough that Tyler Shuck needs to come in. Although he was picked higher than I remember, 40th overall. So a lot of times when you take a guy 40th overall and you're 1-6 or 1-7 or whatever the hell they are, you usually go to the backup quarterback. That makes
you got to find out what you, I mean, none of us actually think that they're not going to draft a quarterback next year anywhere, but you got to find out what you have in Tyler. And he's also already 26. You know, this isn't a 22-year-old quarterback. He's 26 years old. So you got to
find
out. All
that time making fun of some other quarterbacks in their age. Tyler Shuck's 26?
Yep. Yeah. He was born in 99.
I mean, my God. What did Patrick Mahomes accomplish in the NFL by the time he was 26 years old?
A lot, Cody. A lot. In fact, an MVP or two at that point, or one, I should say, at that point in time. And going back to those MVP awards, let's talk about Patrick Mahomes and where he's at, because
he's the favorite still.
He is not only the favorite, but he's in the middle of his best run since 2021. I understand he won a Super Bowl after 2021, but he individually has four of the last five games thrown for three touchdowns and at least 250 yards. The last time he did it was 2021. And there were multiple moments again yesterday where he makes the plays that nobody else can make in the National Football League. I think it honestly is why, without going deep into the whole PFF grading stuff, it's why he doesn't grade well.
Even graded like a 90, their system, two actual picks.
Their system is flawed, but he makes throws that you're quote unquote not supposed to be able to make. He breaks their grading scale. Their grading scale is not designed for Patrick Mahomes. It's designed for the normal everyday quarterback. And that's a flawed grading system, by the way, if that's the case. But anyway, Patrick Mahomes playing better football than he has over the last couple of years. And a lot of it is he's confident in the system they're running again. He's confident in his offensive line. Jalen Moore settled in after a bad first drive or two. He's confident in his weapons, not just Kelsey, like that's always been the case. He's confident in Rashee Rice. He's confident in Hollywood Brown. He's confident in Tyquan Thorne when he needs to.
Juju
Smith-Schuster can keep on and on and on. And they have a little bit of a running game. It's not the best in the world, but it works. Short yardage situations. Kareem Hunt has actually been very effective. We'll talk more about him tomorrow. It's all led into this part where they're having fun, as Mahomes said. We played the audio in the last segment. And why he's playing his best football since 2021.
Patrick Mahomes, his last four games, has had three games in which he threw three passing touchdowns and one in which he threw four. He only threw one against Jacksonville. He did run one in. So he scored a couple of runs there, a couple of touchdowns there as well. When you start looking at it, the key numbers for me, Gold, are since their full complement of weapons, or since they got at least Worthy back on the field, right? After Baltimore, he's averaging 7.8, 8.6, 8.2, and 8.8 yards per attempt. He's down the field more. All of it looks significantly easier. 2021, I guess, where stat-wise, just so you know where you finished that year, 4,839 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 13 picks. He is pacing dangerously close, I will tell you, to those numbers. He's a little off in the yardage category, is about it in the sense that he averaged, I think it was 84 point yards per game during that season. He's only averaging 262 per game this year, but he's also averaging more rushing yards and more rushing touchdowns than he'd had at any particular point. So his total yards per game is going to be way closer to that. Right now, he's on pace to be like a 4,300-yard passer, Gold, with like 40 touchdowns and 14 picks. That is a massive MVP.
Sounds like an MVP season. Sounds like an MVP season to me.
Well, look, and there's a reason why he's the favorite and why you and I picked him to win the MVP before the season. I thought you did, too.
I did. So I also like Baker, though.
Yeah, you did. But you talked about that as being an odds play.
Yeah,
it's different.
That was a value thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that you can't like more than one person's chances to do it from a betting perspective.
Yeah.
But I picked Patrick Mahomes, and you did too, to win the MVP. And when you start looking at these guys to do it, he looks loose and comfortable in a way that I haven't seen in years. This is the best version of Patrick Mahomes since at least that year. And by the time the year is done, it might end up being better than the 2021 version. I'm not going all the way to 2018. I'm not taking the 50-touchdown, 5,000-yard year from him. But if you just average out the last two games, since he's had his full complement of weapons, there's no reason to think they're not going to average 30 points a game for the rest of the season. He's not going to average 250 yards, and he's not going to have 2 to 3 touchdowns a game.
Yeah, he's able to just dice up defenses again. I mean, and a lot of that is the weapons, but like he's throwing 25-yard ropes down the field.
He's throwing no-look passes to Noah Gray. He's finding Travis Kelce in the flat when he's not even supposed to be in a route. The Travis Kelce touchdown was maybe the most impressive throw he made of the entire day. He swung that in between two defenders directly into Travis's hands. He's avoiding it. He's having to run less. Not running zero, but run less because of all the wide receivers going in there. He just looks free and loose. And like the pressure, I'll say, the offensive line was not perfect last night. That wasn't like some...
Got better as the game went on. The first drive, Jalen Moore was getting worked.
Ooh, that was tough.
And then to his credit, he did settle in. But the first drive and a half, it was a problem. You're like, oh, Josh Simmons, please. Let's get back here very quickly if you can.
And in fairness, that drive could have still ended in a touchdown. Like he threw the pick, but like they were moving the ball still. So like even the offensive line's not holding him back right now because he has so many weapons and they're being so creative. Like I'm just... This is the most impressed I've been by Mahomes in years. And that's largely because of the stats. I've always thought he's great, and so have you. And we didn't think he backslid. We just thought he didn't have like the tools around him. That happens sometimes in sports. And not just didn't have the tools, had a mediocre offensive line and a bad set of weapons for a while. Now he doesn't. Now he has both. What were you going to ask me? Do I what?
No, we'll talk about more tomorrow. I'll just say, like, it's another game where Juwan Taylor, no penalties, right?
He had one that not was for illegal, reversed.
So no penalty.
He got called for a hold, and the defensive back got called for a hold.
Offsetting, yeah. But no illegal formation.
Nope.
Just saying, we'll talk about it tomorrow more, but since he's been engaged, not engaged on the football field, I'm talking like engaged off the field, sorry. Like as an engaged man, he's been more engaged on the field and locked in.
He started a lot. You think
some people say the reverse happens, you know, like, you know, you get engaged and everything, you know, things change. And you're like, this has been a good change for him on the field as well. He got destroyed. And as he should, the first 3 weeks of the season, he's been the guy that you need out of the money you're paying him since the Baltimore game.
Do you know what I think Mahomes still doesn't get enough credit for? And this includes, I would say, and make the argument for, this includes where Pro Football Focus's grades come up short on him, which is where they miss on him is how good he is at manipulating people wide open. So like the Noah Gray throw is a perfect example of that. He's staring at Travis Kelce the entire time and then goes to the sideline of Noah Gray. He, because of the way he moves in the pocket, like the passing touchdown to Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, when he throws that ball in Pro Football Focus, they grade that as Kareem Hunt is a wide open man.
Right.
Standing all by himself.
So it's not a difficult pass in their mind.
Not a super hard throw there. Yeah. He manipulates that because the second he gets to the outside, the defender bailed and was like, oh God, if I don't get to Mahomes, he's going to be in the end zone. And what do I do? And I panic. And I think that happens at the secondary and the third levels. I think that happens at a lot of levels where Mahomes gets people open through his movement, through his reads. He is good at forcing people into wide open spots.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. We've discussed over the last couple of years the turnover worthy stuff. Turnovers, of course, should be weighed negatively, but it's also to me it's way out of whack on turnover worthy plays. And so then if you're not going to adjust for what you just described, then you have a flawed grading system. And now PFF has just started to kind of troll the Chiefs fan base. Like they're sending out, I don't know if you saw this, sending out tweets during the game of the interception that Mahomes threw to Lattimore saying, this will go down as a turnover worthy play, Chiefs fan. Like now they're just being smart asses about it.
Well, yeah, even though
their system is clearly a flaw. If you are kicking out a grade that has him, like last week, worse than Geno Smith in passing. Mm-hmm. That's a flawed system.
They also had a pass that Josh Allen threw to a defender's hands and hit his hands is not a turnover worthy play. I'll just be honest with you. If you want to rate any turnover worthy play as in a ball that hits the defenders, both his hands. Okay. I'll hear you out. It hit both the guy's hands. Probably turnover worthy. We're not here to argue the ones like the Kelce one's not a turnover worthy play. He threw it to the person. If it hits or is picked by the other team, yeah, it's turnover worthy. I don't care if they make a great
catch. The Lattimore interception. That was a great play by Lattimore, but also that was a mistake.
It's a turnover worthy play because he put the ball in harm's way. I will say, and before we get to all 32, and this is what stands out so good about the defense, the only big plays, the only plays at all that they got regularly, Washington last night, was Terry McLaurin making absolutely insane grabs.
Yeah, he's a hell of a receiver. So, top 15 receiver in the league.
Washington will still have a chance to win some games the rest of the way, I believe. I just think that they're hamstrung by
their schedule's brutal, man.
I know. They only might win 6 or 7 games. They're going to miss the playoffs. Do we think they're going to miss the playoffs?
They're in danger, depending on how long Jane Daniels is out, yeah.
He's going to have to go. They said he might be back this week.
Their schedule's just horrendous. Let me pull it back up real quick.
Is it that bad?
It's all 32. This was the stretch. They got the Chiefs, of course, last night, Seahawks, then Lions. Mm. Yeah. Ugh. Then the Dolphins, a little break, then the Broncos, then the Vikings, and then the Giants. Those are the next six games.
So half of them stink, but the other half aren't.
But they just lost to the Cowboys the week before. They just lost to the Chiefs. They could end up losing 4 games in a row. They'll be 3-7 like that. Anyway, all right, let's get to it. All 32, thinking of the Vikings. I mentioned them on the schedule for the Commanders. They're going to J.J. McCarthy. They have to. Carson Wentz done for the season. Carson Wentz, now that we know he's on the IR and done, now we got more injury information. He's been playing with a very injured shoulder. We all saw him in major pain in the last game, kind of trying to gut it out. And he, of course, was not playing well to begin with. Now J.J. McCarthy is back after only playing 2 games this season, the only 2 games of his NFL career. And in those games, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He had one great quarter. One great quarter. The rest has been very average/below average, if we're being honest. Now they wanted to get him fully healthy, and I understand that. My thing with J.J. McCarthy, these next, what do they have, 8, 9 games left?
Yep.
If he doesn't look good, and I'm not saying he won't. He's got a great head coach. If he doesn't look good, I think in the offseason, you already have to look at other options at quarterback. Yes, this is the way the NFL works. You can say, well, he's only played. You're giving him 10 games. It'll be year 3. He'll be going to year 3 next year. He'll already be entering year number 3. If he doesn't show promise, and maybe he will, I'm not out on him entirely because he's only played 2 games, but he will have 8 or 9 games here down the rest of the season to show that he should be their starting quarterback in 2026.
I think for him, I told you I think year 3 is more important than year 2, but I think it's you get the 1 year where they bring in the veteran backup who's not supposed to start. He's not a threat to you, but he's also there as like a little security blanket for if you get halfway through next year and J.J. McCarthy can't play. I thought it stunk in the beginning and then he looked okay there for a little bit. So I thought maybe I was wrong. I wasn't quite sure because I told you they did everything to try to find a guy to challenge J.J. McCarthy for a long time.
Yeah, they never signed Daniel
Aaron
Jones.
Rogers, but they flirted with a bunch of people. Kind of indicated to me maybe they didn't love J.J. McCarthy. So I think that might be a part of it. I will say, and then I'll get to my All-32. Spare me on player safety. When you put Carson Wentz out there, when you know his shoulder is ripped to shreds. I'm sorry, whoever the third string quarterback
was, Minnesota,
was a better option. It doesn't matter how bad he's looked in a practice. He can at least physically throw a football. They left Carson Wentz out there to die. I mean, that's bad player management, in my opinion. Bad player management. For my All-32, I'm going to say we are a week away from the NFL trade deadline. And does it feel like crickets to anyone else? We spent a lot of time talking about the potential players who could be traded. Adam Schefter 2 weeks ago spent a lot of time telling us how there was going to be a trade every Monday for the next 3 weeks. Nothing. I see a lot of names keep being brought up. Maybe Kayvon Thibodeau. I saw that the Steelers are going to sign free agent MVS to their squad to add to the wide receiver unit. It feels like another kind of duddy trade deadline. And the truth is it should be because a huge chunk of the league is still in it. There are some bad teams, but like 20 teams in the league can claim they're within striking distance. That's the problem.
I feel like we do go through this every year. The trade deadline is never as exciting as everybody builds it up to be. It's great sports talk radio fodder, all the rumors. And I will also point out it's a week from today. deadline spurs action. We'll hear more noise Friday of this week, obviously next Monday into Tuesday. But this is not the NBA. This is not Major League Baseball. All these names get mentioned, and let's say there's 20 mentioned. Four get traded. Three get traded.
Yeah,
that's just how it normally goes.
If I put together a list of the top 30 trade candidates of players I actually think could get traded, maybe two would go. You're right. Yeah. Maybe
it's fun to talk about, though. It's a great. It's what makes sports fun.
I can also dream a world in which the Chiefs trade for Kayvon Thibodeau.
Right,
and he's on the defensive line. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That would
Please.
Be incredible. Yeah,
his name keeps getting rumored again. By the way,
yes,
I'm interested for what that's
worth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I think is interesting is that the Green Bay Packers. It feels like we skate over them a little bit.
And I can't figure them out.
I don't know if that's this year or if it's like even going back to last year, but it feels like we forget about them a little bit. Like the talk of the NFC is, you know, the Eagles, of course, but you also include the Bucks in there and even the NFC West. Like I think even Seattle might even be getting more love just for what they've been able to do, where Green Bay is the one seed right now in the NFC. Better than anybody else.
It definitely is quieted down. I would agree with you there. I would only say that the first 2 or 3 weeks of the season, everybody was saying, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. They were so dominant after what they did to the Lions. So it definitely has quieted down. The first 3 weeks, it was probably the opposite. It was probably overblown, probably getting too much love after they beat the Lions in week one the way they did. But then, it's gotten a little quiet on them. I would agree with that.
I think maybe that's just one. It might just be the market. Jordan Love is not an overly exciting player, although he's having a good year statistically. It's not like he's been a bad player.
Jacobs has been a little quieter this year.
It's also like, which of their games the last 3 weeks are you watching? Cincinnati and Jake Browning, Arizona, and whoever the hell Kyler Murray's backup is, are at Pittsburgh. Not exactly an exciting stretch of football games they've been playing. And that happens sometimes in the NFL. When your last five games are against Cleveland, who has one win, Dallas, who has two wins, Cincinnati, who has three wins, Arizona with two wins, and Pittsburgh, who just not an exciting team.
I mean, they're on prime time.
I think the most interesting thing that has taken place in the NFL, which is the antithesis of what I am used to out of this division, is AFC North is known for tough, hard nose football in the weather, cold, we're tough teams. They got the worst defense in the league in that division. Bengals can't play defense. Steelers can't play defense. Like,
they got the four worst.
Ravens can't play defense.
Four worst defenses.
The Browns can, but they stink otherwise.
Browns are the only team who can play defense in the whole division.
They got three of the five worst defenses in the league.
It's crazy.
And the Browns have the third best defense, and they are the worst team in the division.
And you can't even say, well, it's because they face some of the best quarterbacks. Lamar's been hurt. Joe Burrow's been hurt. It's not even like they're playing. Like, and Aaron Rodgers is the other quarterback, and he's actually having a very nice season.
No, but he's like, he's 50.
So you can't even say, well, it's because they got to face, you know, murderer's row of QBs. No, they don't. No, they haven't. Not in their own division so far this year.
Even with the injuries, it does. AFC North is known for that, like, defensive, like, Steelers and Ravens.
I expect 20-17 games.
At least the Steelers and Ravens, in particular, defensively should be top 10. You expect that on a regular basis. But, yeah, the complete opposite this year.
Aaron Rodgers, 16 passing touchdowns, second best in the NFL.
He's been really good.
Five interceptions. That's just one more than Patrick Mahomes. 1,489 yards overall. That's about 300 yards, 400 yards short of him, but...
Well, he's had a nice... The Arthur Smith system is a good fit for him. It's a very good fit for him.
And he's played one less game than Mahomes, so he could easily have more passing touchdowns at the end of the year.
Steelers' defense has just fallen off so much.
But that's what's so crazy. Much. So they finally found a quarterback who could execute their offensive system, and then they end up just having... I mean, their defense is putrid.
And they're relatively healthy as well. They've got a couple injuries, but they've been relatively healthy.
Lost their safety, I think, Elliott or whatever. But yeah,
Jalen Ramsey's been getting
Cam Hayward's still there. Now maybe he's getting a little old, but Hayward's there. We all know about TJ Watt. You know, it's kind of crazy how that defense.
Derek Harmon hasn't done a single solitary thing. It sounds like just by the, you know, his name hasn't come up very much.
Am I wrong? Well, I feel like I saw that he was injured.
Oh, really? Has he been injured as well?
I don't know. I might be making that up now. It's one of those.
You just
like,
haven't heard his name at all. Like, I mean, even for injury, like you've even heard him as if it's like.
That's probably why I think he's hurt. I mean, look, the truth is they didn't have enough stuff change in their defense to make it think he had been sidelined for knee injury earlier in the year.
But they were good defensively last year. That's what doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just off. They finally figure out how to score. It's you know, it's the yips. You finally figure out how to throw to first base, and now you can't hit. You finally figure out how to hit, and now your defense struggles. They apparently finally figure out how to play some offense for the first time in five years, and it has completely ruined their ability to play consistent defense. I will say Aaron Rodgers has been a lot better than I was anticipating. He certainly looks like he could be the, if he wanted it, that Tom Brady played at least 42, 43, and at least be a decent NFL quarterback the entire time.
Coming up next, the new way some fans are finding to get upset about officiating in the NFL after last night. And we'll get to the random question of the day right here.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Cody and Gold.
Chiefs are going for it. Fourth and goal at the 2. 10-19 to go third quarter. 7-7 tie. Hunt the running back. Snap to Mahomes. Retreating. Moving to his right. Now pump faking. Throws it late. Wide open. Touchdown! Kansas City, Kareem Hunt has his 18th receiving touchdown. The Chiefs take the lead on the second touchdown of the night for Kareem Hunt.
Mitch Holtis on the call last night here on 96.5 The Fan. A nice night from Kareem Hunt. Isaiah Pacheco worked in there as well. There was the one hit, though, Pacheco took that caused him to get looked at on the sideline. Then he hopped up and seemed to be
smiling,
very happy and smiled,
yeah,
like he got the all clear. Well, during the break, just 2 minutes ago from Tom Pelissero, I'll just read you the tweets. It says Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco, who left Monday night's win with a knee injury, is considered week to week with an MCL sprain, according to sources. Now, Nate Taylor is going to join us in studio here about 25 minutes. We will certainly find out if he has some more information. But if it is truly going to be week to week, now keep in mind, Bills Sunday, then a bye week, then the Broncos. So he could miss, let's say, one game in that week to week. We'll see how.
Because if he misses this week, he gets two full weeks to
correct.
Get healthy.
So
Denver,
yeah, hopefully it's that and not week, a yes, 4 week type of thing. Week to week, I usually think is like a two or three week thing.
Well,
but if they don't have Pacheco available on Sunday, so then you're looking at Kareem Hunt, who's been very effective in short yardage. Breshard Smith time has to be. Elijah Mitchell going to be activated for his first time of 2025?
One huge run he had got pulled back for a holding call, so obviously nobody remembers it now in the game. It was a nice run. It was a hold, too. I'm not saying that it was wrong. Look, I would tell you right now, there'd be another back during the time in which he'd be gone. They're not going to go into every game with just Breshard Smith and Kareem Hunt. You're one Kareem Hunt injury away from turning the entire running back room over to a rookie. So it's either Carson Steele still on the practice squad.
Yeah, Clyde, all of them are still there. Yep.
So yep. It's some back on the practice squad coming back up and spending a little time with the club while he's week to week. Or it says, truth is, knowing their very long history with how they handle injuries, I would now be stunned if he played against the Bills on Sunday. Knowing that they have it backed up against a bye week and then a week after that, a road game against an important divisional opponent, I wouldn't anticipate him being available for the game on Sunday. And instead, I would just assume Isaiah Pacheco back for the Broncos. That gives you 3 full weeks to heal the man's leg. You get the rest of this week, so 6 days, then the whole week after that, heading into the bye week, then the whole week after that before you take on Denver. I would guess that it's a low likelihood he would do it. And that doesn't mean they're more likely to make a trade because it's just one game. But yeah, I would assume, and here's the truth. The game last night, that's the most juice I've seen out of Kareem Hunt all season. I thought that was the best the running game looked the entire year, as a matter of fact. Genuinely impressed with the running game last night. They had 150 yards rushing. It was balanced. It was everyone. Everyone seemingly was hitting their spot and getting to it quickly. Like,
yeah, 58 from Pacheco on 12 carries, 9 on 40, plus the rushing touchdown for Kareem Hunt in addition to his receiving touchdown that he had. So we'll hear from
him. Last year, why wouldn't they just do that again, you know, with Kareem?
Yeah, just I like the role that Kareem has found now. We're going to talk about him tomorrow and how I think it was Jesse Newell was putting out some numbers that his short yardage is actually now more effective as far as conversion rate than the tush push. That's how good Kareem Hunt has been in short yardage. So only worry I would have is you ask him to do more and be more of an every down type of back. Does that hurt his effectiveness in other areas? We'll see. We don't know for sure if Pacheco's going to miss games or a game, but not great update there from Tom Pelissero. First reaction is that, well, Breshard Smith, your time to shine here coming up on Sunday against the Bills, if that's the case.
And look, there is still, for the same things we said earlier in the year, I do still see juice with Breshard Smith. I see moments in which he looks like an explosive back who could do explosive things. And so I'm not anti getting a look at him. But I also think that Pacheco's season, well, not great. The two of them combined were on pace for like 1,300 yards, and they're pretty much sharing the job. And so I kind of view it as, in a lot of ways, I view it as this, they had kind of found balance in it. And so I'm not looking for anything to challenge that balance, I guess, is what I would say, Gold. And so this throws a wrinkle in the offense in the sense that they'll do it. You know what else they'll do in the running game more? If Isaiah Pacheco can miss time, you know who else will get more carries before Kareem Hunt or Breshard Smith or even including but with those guys as well? It's fairly easy. It's Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, and the other guys. They'll use the passing game. They'll either pass it as an extension of the running game, or they will straight up hand it off to those guys. Rashee Rice had 2 carries, including that awesome wildcat look down near the end zone.
I'm convinced that is a we're playing Deebo Samuel. Why can't we do that kind of thing with our guy too? And that to me was what that was.
Rashee Rice showing in their face.
You don't think I just think that that's what it reminded me of immediately.
Yeah, that's probably fair. That does look like what Deebo Samuel would do. And as you saw, how quickly. You saw how quickly he got up near the goal line.
He said he spoke. He spoke at the podium yesterday. We were there, and he said that the other rink, basically, depending on how the defensive end reacted, it would have been he would have had the ability to pitch it himself. So the defensive end did not, and he was able to run and obviously almost get a touchdown. But
option play.
There's a wrinkle, of course, off of it as well, and. This is what's fun about it is you put this again. It's another thing you put on tape before the Bills. It's another thing you put on tape before a Broncos game. Another thing you put on tape before a Colts game.
How are they going to use these guys?
All these things that these teams are now going to have to worry about offensively for Kansas City.
The only thing that surprised me about the Pacheco thing is because the way he reacted to the game. Yeah, I just thought no problem. You know, he popped up. He went, yeah, he was happy. They did the little like ACL test on his knee. And he's like, woo, feeling good. He must've gotten the,
woke up
today is a little fat and like an MCL sprain. We know how this works, right? That means it's a small tear, which means it's something he's going to be dealing with. And we talked about this with Pacheco. I don't have the bigger conversation necessarily because it is a week to week injury, but this is why running backs get run out of the league quick, Gold. And this is why he's already missed time for injury. He's going to miss a little bit more time, maybe, for injury this time, even if it's minor. And this is why running backs are a three-year, four-year plan gold, and then you draft a new one, and you switch, and you go to it. You know, like, it's not his fault, but this is why they turn and burn him in this league, you know? You and I never thought Pacheco was going to get some long-term extension here. You use running backs until the wheels come off, more often than not. That's what's actually been impressive about Kareem Hunt. He just seemingly stands upright most of the time, which is
one of the
more impressive.
You know, like, was it Dr. Morse or one of those Twitter doctors or whatever? Like, actual
real doctor?
Twitter
doctor.
Not like random, like, Chiefs fan 87536.
Okay.
Like, Twitter doctor, but real doctor. Anyway, mentioned that, that you know, without hearing from the team, he's like, it could mean it's, you know, basically the ligament is stretched or it's partially torn. So it's one of, it doesn't necessarily mean it's partially torn. It could just be that it's stretched. Either way, his status for Sunday doesn't seem great.
No.
We'll ask Nate Taylor about it in 20 minutes, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. Random question of the day coming up in about 6 minutes or so. But last night we saw, for the first time in a while in a primetime game, I feel like the virtual measurement became a thing again. Remember, they added this because they wanted to eliminate the chain gang. The spot is still spotted by the official on the field. So the virtual measurement,
it's a check.
Took a lot longer last night than I thought it was supposed to take. Why not just bring out the chains if that's how long it was going to take? And that actually created some drama in the stadium. Like, everybody's waiting and everybody's waiting and everybody's waiting.
Well, especially because it was a fourth down and he was short. Yeah.
And of course, the graphic gets on the Jumbotron there. I'm sure the same thing they showed right on television. And, you know, he's 5 inches short of the first down. And at the time, it did look like live. Yeah, to me, it looked like that's a first down for the Commanders. Right.
Oh, yeah.
There were bad
Even
spots.
On TV,
there were
did,
bad honestly. Spots throughout the entire night. But then immediately it turned into, you know, of course, it only happens in a Chiefs game. So be mad. Like, you can be mad at the spot or whatever, but the actual virtual measurement thing, there's no rigging of anything. It literally is just a way for them to show you the measurement. It literally just takes for where the football is at and it plops like a, you know, what we would be equivalent of like Xbox 360 graphics of what the football looks like trying to measure it.
Yeah, and I guess, and look, it's fine. I still think they could do it like Eagle Eye where it'd go, you know, like you get a little lead up to it.
Oh, you want it like to like zoom out basically?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of like they do in the, so they could put a little more production into it.
Okay.
This game is such a stupid one. If you are the refs or the rig it for the Chiefs. There were multiple calls that went the Chiefs' way. One was that overturn on replay assist where they did the virtual measurement and they were short. Although it is digitally tracked, so probably accurate, but whatever. The roughing the passer call, which again I believed was accurate, but so there were a couple, right? I'm not saying there weren't. There were none for Washington. They called a touchdown, an incomplete. They overturned it, even though that thing was razor thin. I do think it's a touchdown. But like his toe, if it's touching the ground there, it is like by the, you know, like a chin hair touching the ground. Also the one on the Terry McLaurin one.
Right.
Where half his bodies go out of bounds, but like his shin and like that becomes kind of like a gray, not a gray area, but it's like which part of your leg is enough leg in order to be in bounds? They say it was. I actually think it was the right call. But two very close ones got overturned even though they were called wrong on the field. They also did not get called for what I think is still, and I do not understand, you weren't watching the TV broadcast, a blatant pass interference on a third down where Rashee Rice...
Oh, they got there early.
Yeah.
The defender got there early. I know which one you're talking
about. On the broadcast, they said, it's pretty much the same time. And I'm like, the hell, we watched
the issue
same
is whenever
ESPN rules analyst was not helping the cause.
Whenever they cut to that guy, he never differentiates from whatever the officials on the field said. I would love for someone to go back and like grade it out and log it. I swear, I don't remember the guy's name, the ESPN ref in particular. I swear he never goes against what the ref on the field said.
And then you had Troy
on TV. He said it was bang bang, but in replay, it
what's his name? You guys remember?
He said even in slow motion, it was a bang bang play. And I'm like, are you?
Yeah, I don't think in slow motion.
Are we watching the same thing?
I just don't get why the virtual measurement took. Like, I thought it was supposed to be quick, expedited. But that was, I thought that was the whole point. We got like, we don't need to act. This isn't the 80s. Why are we using chains? And why are we waiting for them to drag the chain out? And we're relying on a note card and all this kind of stuff.
Not to make the virtual measurement sound like those killer robots from MIT.
The virtual measurement, I don't know. Maybe it felt longer in real time. But like,
I think there's
it felt
more
like it was 60 plus seconds for us to find out, which is not expedited.
I think there's more excitement actually with the chain gang.
Oh, I agree. There's more drama with it. Because I felt last night there was drama only because it took a while.
To your point, Cody, with the way that they do the eagle eye, like they should start, like they should do an overhead shot and then zoom way in and then do it. When the chain is set and the official pulls the chain up and extends it and then sets it down, it's like, oh.
I agree. Yeah,
I like
it. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, the tennis end of it.
It's not Russell York it used to be.
It's not Blandino. I know who Blandino is. It's not him. Oh my gosh!
Nick Jacobs was tweeting his name out last night, but
York was the guy we said a couple weeks ago, and the same thing happened when they played the Jaguars because it was a very similar thing.
Is it Jerry McKinn? No.
Sometimes it's like I watch it and I just try to decide like, am I crazy? Or we're watching the same thing. Like,
I think he's right in the fact that it's bang bang live and it's very tough to make, but you can't challenge.
Everybody's
it, so
still saying it's Russell York. I don't know.
Okay, it probably is.
Are we sure about that? Because I thought we said Russell York last week and it wasn't him.
This article from 2 weeks ago says ESPN has Russell York, Terry McCauley is NBC and Amazon Prime.
Okay, so it is him,
Russell York. But the point is that like the thing that I don't understand that continues to happen in these Chiefs ref controversies is what is the broadcast group? Are they doing it on purpose? Like when Troy Aikman sits back and they get that reffing, he's like, well, they're going to protect quarterbacks, especially that one. You're like, why you got to say it like that? Maybe you're just talking and it's off the cuff and you don't mean it, but damn. When you say it like that, you just invite the rest of the NFL fans into this, like, there it is. Like, the calls last night, I didn't think it was an incredibly reffed game. They missed some hold calls on both teams. The spotting of the football was the worst part of all of it. Yeah, and they had to overturn some calls that they got wrong, including the Terry McLaurin catches. And so, but for the most part, I thought the overturn in the sky cam and the overturn in the refs got it right. They got Terry McLaurin's catches right. They got it was short, right? Yeah, they missed some holds or whatever during the game. Sure, that happens in every game. And it's not like the Chiefs were unpenalized like the game they were claiming was rigged when they got zero penalties against Detroit. Was that the one they got zero penalties against? Nine penalties last night.
Yes.
And two more that didn't get accepted. So they actually called for 11 penalties, had nine accepted, and were the more penalized team in the game.
Yeah, and as someone on the text line points out, the virtual measurement, you can thank Josh Allen for why that exists if you don't like it. That is a direct result of Josh Allen. It just is.
Yep.
Overtime rule change, direct result of the
Buffalo
Bills as well.
Because you didn't like the human spot where they called Josh Allen short in a game against the Chiefs, and you're like, whoa. Can't be having the Chiefs do it. We had nothing to do with this, as a matter of fact, as a team.
We'll have plenty of time later in the week to talk some smack towards our friends up in Buffalo. But I will say that two or three of the major rule changes in the league
overtime
have been because of the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, not the Chiefs.
Just to ask.
It's actually things that happened against the Bills when the Chiefs were on the other side, the winning side of it, that people didn't like anymore, and that's why they exist.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, Nate Taylor. You can see on camera coming up in just 13 minutes. We love interacting with you over there as well, so keep an eye on it. And we will chat with you. The question I have today is related to workplace atmosphere. We have, Alex and I are going to be on remote. We're going to be at Community America coming up on Friday. And we will be, you know, doing the normal Red Friday tailgate. First 100 people leave for free. KC Wolf, the Rumble. It'll be a great time out there. But at the same time, our company will be doing a potluck. So, you know, classic, bring in a hot dish, bring in a dessert, you know, bring in something to eat, and we'll all celebrate Halloween with some other stuff. My question is for you. In the case of workplace potluck, what do you think is the item most appropriate to bring from a main dish? I'm asking this because the morning show has informed us that they plan on bringing in sushi and shrimp cocktail.
I think they're doing that on purpose, clearly.
I
think they're clearly bringing in two items that you normally would say don't bring to an office. It stinks up the office. I think that's what it is.
Oh, you think that that's an intentional one,
Yes.
So my question is, do you think fish is off limits? One.
Yes.
Two, what do you think is a good item to bring for a workplace potluck?
So yeah, like you said, we will not be here in the building. Drew, you'll have to report. Drew will have to report back and tell us how it goes, because Drew will be he'll be in the building, obviously.
Probably not.
Why not?
If I feel like I need to make something and bring it, I'm not bringing like the cookies that you get in the box at Target.
Okay, make something. Be a team member, you know. Be a team player.
I think the answer.
Alex and I can't be team players.
I think if you already make this. Like, so for someone texting it about dips, I think if you already know you make a kick-ass, you know, queso, then do that. If you think you make an amazing buffalo chicken dip, do that. Now, if you've never made buffalo chicken dip, don't just suddenly try a recipe online and make it for the potluck, right? But if you've been told and you've made it before and you've been told, man, this buffalo chicken dip is amazing that you make, then make that.
And not from a family member.
Then make that.
From a stranger.
Fine, whatever.
It means more from a stranger.
You know, same thing. Like, I think this time of year, the weather's turning. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff. It's chilies. It's stuff like that.
First, we got two people on the text line, anti workplace potluck. Someone says it's foul.
Yeah.
John in Cubicle 7 scratching his ass crack in the kitchen.
Well, you don't know what people's
not
kitchen.
Not washing their hands.
You really don't. Cody, you had a green onion in a dessert once.
But we don't know what's in the kitchen. Great. Someone said potlucks are awful. No one in white America can cook was the exact comment. Here's some food choices people are actually making. Barbecue meatballs, which was suggested by Jake over on Twitch and on the text.
I like that.
Or Little Smokies, both being mentioned. Somebody is mentioning, like queso got mentioned. Chili? How do we feel about soups and chili? It sits in a crock pot so it stays warm, which makes it seem like a nice potluck thing. Because serving a hot dish is a real challenge in a potluck situation because you'd like it to still be hot.
Well, sometimes you have a setup where you're able to plug it in. You bring a crock pot and you're able to plug it in. I agree with this texter. And this, in Cody, you and I are different on this, and I've told you, and this is weird. I think I'm in the minority, but if it's not something that like a family member has cooked homemade for me or I cook it, I do get, and this is a me problem, I understand, I get a little weirded out with other people's like homemade food, and just
it's crazy because it's no different than your family making.
Oh, the hell, it's not.
It's the same.
It's
me
not
cooking
the same.
Something for
it's
you is the same as your family cooking.
Again, this is where
it's not.
It's not, and this is again, as I said, this hold on, real quick, and then you can obviously push back. This is not directly related to you or anything. And this, I admit, is more of a me problem. But you cannot tell me it's the same. I know what my kitchen is. I know what a family member's kitchen is, and I know how they cook. I'm not saying someone's poisoning me, but I don't know what their kitchen and environment. I don't know if they washed their hands. I don't know if their cat climbed on the counter right before they poured that chili powder in, and the cat was right there, and there's cat hair in it. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
You don't know that your sister also washed her hands.
I know my family. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at. That's all.
But I'm just, you know, like, and every family is a little bit different. Maybe you have the cleanest group in the unit.
I feel like I know what they're going to do in the kitchen. I don't know strangers. Anyway,
there's a point for what you said, Gold, because I think, Cody, you can make something and no matter how good it is, it's not the same as homemade.
It's bias. You're admitting the bias. That's all.
No. Well, I think there's automatically bias though. Like if I make the best spaghetti you've ever had before, it's probably not the same as your mom's spaghetti that you had growing up. Like it's just, that's the way that, like, you,
I'm
you
not
can
trying
make,
to serve you, you a world-class meal. It's a potluck. I'm just trying to give you some spaghetti you like. It doesn't have to be the best spaghetti you ever ate. That's not what I'm trying to win over here. Someone says humans are gross. Yes, but in all situations, it's not just my family. My family's like, it's
someone
not
says,
just
someone
family.
Says, well, Gold, what do you think about restaurants? Yeah, restaurants can get in trouble for it. You know what? There's this thing where they have food inspections. Doesn't mean that they don't have issues in the kitchen, but I know there's a standard. They're not inspecting Cody's kitchen. No. I'm just using you as an example.
No, restaurants are a bad example.
That's not the same thing.
Restaurants are a bad example. But all I'm saying is that, it's just, I would say, look, just as long as it's not like a person who you deem as being foul under normal circumstances.
Sure.
They are probably keeping a relatively clean kitchen. You know, like,
but the items at the potluck, we're not going to be here Friday. When the items are dropped out, are they going to have a name placard for who brought each item? You know what I mean?
I think, you know what?
I don't know who brought each
that
item.
That should be a new designation for the potlucks now. Who made this food? And you should be able to get called out or congratulated for
nobody,
it. I think
nobody
I'm
eats the chili because it's from Martha and whatever.
I am all for that.
This is incorrect. This is crazy. This is crazy. Here's the things people
are you going to bring something even though you're not here?
No, I'm not here. How am I going to bring something?
Drew, you really aren't going to bring anything?
No.
Okay.
I'll be honest. I didn't know you. Do we get an email about this just now?
Because we've gotten 20
Drew,
emails.
I had no idea.
I'm sorry. You sent 20 emails.
I had no clue about this until you guys just brought it up.
Drew, this is a work-related conversation.
I look at my
now.
Email for work every single day, and I have not seen that email.
I'm doubting that question. I'm questioning whether you even have your work email on your phone now. We have gotten, Drew.
There we go.
We have gotten 20 I think I can count them. 20 emails about this potluck. There's signs hanging up in every hallway. There's been 48 signs. It's everywhere. It says there's a Halloween costume contest, a potluck, and they're doing left, right, center for more money than they normally play it for. It's been plastered in this building.
Do we know what time LCR is?
Noon.
It's probably during... I said, of course. All right.
Noon. A lot of chips and
According
dips.
To this email, they're going to... We already know there's going to be salad, cookies, Rice Krispie bars, and corn dip salsa. That's what we've been told. According to the original email.
Oh, no. There's more since there's been updated.
Yeah, there's a new list today.
Your
lunch is taken care of Friday. You'll have to let us know what's good and what's not.
Oh, here we go. Hang on a second. So we do have names attached with the dishes.
Yes, you know what they're making.
Oh, perfect. Don't mention last names or names on the air.
Of course.
If they're on air at our station, you can. Don't mention people in sales or whatever. But who's bringing what from our stations? Has Carrington signed up for anything yet?
No chance. He will eat it.
No. You said no chance. You said no chance.
No
chance. What about Rob?
If it is going to be a store-bought
cookie. Only person is Dusty.
What? And he said the shrimp cocktail. He'll buy that at the store, obviously.
At all of these things.
I mean, you don't really
would Dusty bring that?
I truly think they both are bringing seafood dishes on purpose.
Bringing stinky food?
Hang on, is Bob getting roped in with Dusty? Because the only name on here is Dusty.
Bob said he's bringing sushi.
He just told us
sushi.
Verbally.
Oh, okay.
He was doing it. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay. That's the random question of the day. Up next, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. He'll give us the latest, perhaps, on the Isaiah Pacheco MCL sprain that is reported. We'll discuss the Bills a little bit. It all is coming up next here on Cody and Gold.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.